From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've joined with us for today's program. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, he continues a message entitled, Christ Selecting and Directing His Disciples. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the Lord Jesus emphasizes to the disciples the need for compassion on poor lost souls. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns brings news of the suffering church as he reports that China purges Christians before the Olympics.
Communist China is getting ready to host the Olympic Games. For her, it's a golden opportunity to boost her economy and, perhaps even more important, to show an acceptable face to the world. She desperately wants to make sure that there's little or no opportunity for the world's press to get inside the story of her brutal repression of minorities, especially religious minorities. Among those minorities, the communists are paying particular attention to Christians. China has been under the brutal heel of communism since 1948. Her atheist rulers have done all in their power to eradicate all knowledge of God, but without real effect. Today the gospel is making significant inroads in China, and many have been converted to Christ. That's a scary thought for the communists. They're willing to bend their Marxist economic theories and assimilate what they need to take on board from the West to bring material prosperity. But the last thing they want is anything like genuine freedom. That makes Christianity public enemy number one. For if Christ does anything for a person, it's to give him true liberty. Free people are hard to control, even if they're politically non-active and non-belligerent, as the believers in communist countries have historically been. So China is on another purge to suppress Christian witness. She is targeting pastors, evangelists, and publishers of Christian literature. The latest victim is the father of a United States citizen, Weihan Shi, 37 years old, a businessman who works as a travel agent and who recently got government permission to publish some Christian book titles. The U.S. Embassy is making inquiries of the Chinese government because the man's daughter, Grace Shi, age 7, is a U.S. citizen and has been forced into hiding with her Chinese mother and her 11-year-old sister. Mr. Shi is a lifelong resident of Beijing, but was arrested in his Christian literature bookstore in a high-class business tower near the Olympics Village. Chinese authorities have refused to tell Mr. Shi's family where he's being held or what he's being charged with, essentially denying him any possibility of legal defense. So Weihan Shi has become one of the disappeared in China, in apparent violation of the International Convention for the Protection of All Persons from Enforced Disappearance, a United Nations convention to which China has submitted. Suppressing any possible dissident voice in the run-up to the Olympics is more important to China than any international human rights charter. Pray for Mr. Shi and pray for China. Her communist rulers are on a losing track. They will never eradicate the witness of the gospel. The advent of thousands of people from the West for the Olympics may well provide an unparalleled opportunity for believers to bring gospel literature into China, literature that the Lord can use to save many of that land and many other lands who'll be visiting for the games. Communist purges notwithstanding, the gospel will reach the Chinese people, and it will continue to produce a precious harvest of souls for Christ.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. In addition, there will be reports on what the Lord is doing on two interesting mission fields, that of Liberia, as well as what he's doing in the land of Nepal. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
speaking way of that time, away back at the very dawn of all history, when Satan first sinned and fell from being the anointed cherub down to being the devil himself. He says, I saw him fall. But the Lord Jesus is saying, I saw more than that. I'm still seeing. As God, I'm looking into your heart. And I'm seeing enough to cause real concern. You've seen remarkable and wonderful things. Things that are the special gifts of divine grace. Even the prophets would love to have seen the things that you have seen. But, and there's a very big but, I think the Lord Jesus is looking at them saying, I detect in your hearts a readiness to be puffed up by your own success. Here they are. Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name. Now we can understand that, but stop and think for a moment. Do you see any humility there? Do you see any evidence of self-doubt or self-recognition there? Do you see anything of these people before the feet of the Savior giving all glory to Him and saying, Lord, here we are, poor little miserable, hopeless, helpless creatures who just a little time before saw the very disciples, the 12 closest disciples of Christ, prove powerless at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration? And yet, because of your grace, we have seen a mighty miracle. Do you see anything of that in them? No, no, it's not there. What you see is people who are puffed up with success. And if Christ didn't intervene, their very success would destroy them. So he says, don't be puffed up because the devils are subject unto you. Remember, I saw Satan fall. What led to Satan's fall? Pride. That's what led to Satan's fall. And he's saying, and they wouldn't have missed it, pride will destroy you just as certainly. The work of God has been cursed and hindered. Many a time a good work has been stopped through pride more than through any enemy action from the outside. This is why the Lord, I believe, is so slow to bless us. And might we cry, Lord, we're ready for revival. I often think of those words of Malachi when he says that, yes, the Lord will visit his temple, but who may abide the day of his coming? When he comes, who can stand the heat of the fire of the holy presence of Christ? Who can do it? We're so immature that very often the very blessings of God become a reason for us to puff out our chest with pride. We have seen what others haven't seen. We have felt what others don't feel. We know what others don't know. May God help us. That's the very pride that will wreck any work of God. What's the answer to it? Verse 20 tells you what the answer is. Don't be rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice rather in this, because your names are written in heaven. Never get beyond the fact, I am just a sinner saved by grace. Never get beyond the fact, I could have been in hell today. If God had given me the millionth part of what I deserve, I would have been in hell long ago. But He has redeemed me, saved me by His grace. My name is written in heaven. I don't have time to go on with this, but we so often look at other people and say, why did the Lord never make me a better preacher, a greater soul winner? Why did God not give me greater gifts, greater talents? Why has he not given me a greater sphere of service? Why has he not used me? Why will God... It's as if we're saying the Lord is holding me back. Here am I, all ready and willing to do great things for God, and he won't let me do them. Why? Listen. God has made you his own child. He saved you with the blood of his own dear son. He has taken the red ink of the Redeemer's blood and he has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have the audacity to moan at what he hasn't given you? Anything God hasn't given us, he has held back for our good. Because when he gave us Christ, he gave us everything. Rejoice in this and hear the caution. Let not pride destroy the work of grace. In the part we didn't read, the Lord Jesus illustrates the compassion of his disciples. Time forbids that we go into it in any detail. There was a lawyer who tempted Christ, got more than he bargained for when he did so. At heart, he was a narrow-minded bigot full of his own self-righteousness who really thought that he was good enough by his works to get to heaven. And yet he comes in, he's really saying to the Lord Jesus as he tempts him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord Jesus answers him with a parable that exposed his prejudice, his bigotry, and the emptiness of his religion, that was devoid of love for God and man. Told him a story of the Good Samaritan. A story I trust you will all know without my taking time to repeat it this morning. The Samaritan had no dealings with Jews, and the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Now you understand why Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. You have that in America. We have it in Northern Ireland. But you have it everywhere on earth. You have your Jews and your Samaritans. May not go under those names always. We don't deal with those people. This Samaritan found a Jew robbed and dying. Two Jews had left him to die. And he went over, he ministered to him. He spent money and time and effort. In other words, he showed the compassion of Christ. Two things motivated his service: love for God, fulfilling the first great commandment of the law, and love for man. Love for your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? That's what the parable is all about. Your neighbor's not people of the same race or religion, necessarily, or only. Your neighbor's not the people you naturally like. Your neighbor's not the people who have done good things for you. Your neighbor is any man of any description in need of the grace of God that God brings across your path. And you serve him not out of duty, but out of love for God and love for him. And I have to tell you, brethren, this is where our discipleship fails. And I include me there. This is where we fail. We have a religion of knowledge, and we ought to know what we believe. We have a religion of truth. We ought to rejoice in that truth. But I fear we have a religion of very little heart. I've mentioned to you before, I've been reading a couple of books recently on the ministry of the Wesley and the early Methodists. It's easy to pick holes in Wesley's theology. It's easy to find fault with Wesley's imperious, at times egotistical manner of behavior. One thing you can't find fault with is this: the emphasis that the early Methodists put on what they called, and I have to confess, theologically developed in a wrong way, but nonetheless, it consumed them, the thought of perfect love. When John Wesley went into a town and was literally dragged by the hair of his head from one end of the town to the other, and to get up to bless and preach to the very people who did it, and tell them the love of Christ. I want to tell you, that's something that I think we know very little about. The compassion of a heart in love with Christ, and a heart in love with perishing sinners.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday,
as we let the Bible speak.